Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time from the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, special guest Dr. Ray McAllister teaches on the dangers of Calvinism.
Well, what's the practical value of Calvinism? I mean, we'll get down to it practical. What's the practical value of Calvinism? Now listen, I'm going to tell you. I see absolutely no practical value in Calvinism. Why? Because if you get caught up in Calvinism, then it is going to take away your zeal for missions and soul winning. After all, if people are going to get saved anyway, why bother? Although there are some Calvinists, Sovereign Grace Baptists are Calvinistic, but they send missionaries. Why? I don't know. Beats me. Now, even if the Calvinists are correct, then I'm one of the elect because I came to faith in Jesus Christ, which means I was, first of all, redeemed, and then he was giving me faith, so I'm one of the elect. Isn't it funny that people that are not Calvinists find more the elect than the Calvinists do? They go out and find people that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one breed of Calvinism believes that every thought, deed, and action has been predestinated by God. Otherwise, we are just a bunch of puppets down here doing what God has predestinated us to do. I heard about a man that believed that, walked out of his house one day and fell on his face and got up and was hurt. And he said, "Thank God that's over." Some of you get that later on. I see that went above you. If it was predestinated for that to happen, he was glad it was over. Okay. I don't believe that. I believe you have a free will to accept. Now, I do believe this. I believe the Holy Spirit's got to come in. And Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw." Now get that. I'll draw the elect unto me. Is that what he said? No, he said, "I'll draw all men unto me." And I believe the Holy Spirit draws men. But I believe that grace is not irresistible. I believe a man can say, no, I don't want that. Or not just that, but say, "Well, yeah, that sounds pretty good, but I'll worry about that later." Pastor talked about procrastination. And a lot of people just procrastinate and say, "Yeah, I'll get saved later." Well, that's the same thing as saying, "No, I don't want it." Matter of fact, I joined a procrastinators club. We haven't had a meeting yet. It's a shame. It is really a shame that we even have to discuss something like this. And the reason we do discuss something like this is because Satan is divisive and wants to divide a church if possible. And not only this, I mean, this is one, but Satan's got a myriad of ways to divide a church. And it happens when somebody comes in and they begin to spread secretly their teaching around, and pretty soon they got a following, and then it becomes public, and then there's a split in the church, and it causes havoc. That means that we need to be aware of what we believe, and we need to recognize when somebody comes in teaching what we don't believe. Now listen, this church is built on a doctrinal statement. That doctrinal statement is not to be changed. And a pastor can't change it. Nobody's supposed to change it because that's what the church is built on. And when people come in and begin to teach something else other than what that doctrinal statement is, we need to immediately, a red light ought to go on and say, "Hey, something's not right here." Why? You know what this church is doing? This church is whose influence is worldwide. And you think Satan likes that? Do you think Satan says, "Oh, well, there's Westwood. Oh, it's no big deal"? No, I don't think Satan cares about Westwood at all. And I think Satan will do everything he can to stop Westwood from doing what they're doing. And he's pretty slick at what he does. I think who was it says he's a good devil? And he is a good devil. He's good at what he does. So we need to be careful. And this is one of the things. This is one of the things that divides churches. And this is one of the things that divides churches so easily, because so many Baptists believe this. And they bring it in. Oh, yeah, I'm a Baptist and I've been a Baptist, blah, 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 blah. And a matter of fact, they go down the line, you know, to believing close communion and believing in baptism this way and the whole business. And then they bring up this stuff. So we have to be careful. So in your head, remember, TULIP. And when you hear these things, total depravity, total inability, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints, then let that be the red light flash on and say, wait a minute, this is not right. So that Westwood will keep on doing what Westwood's doing now, preaching the gospel around the world. Well, that's just kind of a short version of it. We could probably spend many, many hours talking about Calvinism and what it does and what it doesn't do. Now listen, the Bible teaches that Jesus died on a cross for every man. And by man, I mean mankind, a woman too. And the Bible teaches that God loves everybody. Not just the elect, God loves everybody. And God doesn't want to see anybody die and go to hell. That's amazing, isn't it? Did you ever stop and wonder, why did God love me? I don't have a clue. I don't know. But he did. And he wanted me to come and live with him. And so he died on the cross for me. And he said, now, here's your choice. You can either accept it. It's already paid for. You can either accept it or you can reject me. If you accept me, you go to heaven. If you reject me, you're going to hell. Now stop and think about this. Which gives God the most glory? God making somebody get saved, or somebody choosing to accept what Jesus has done for us? What glory is it out of a puppet that someone manipulates? That's no glory. But how about someone that gladly, willingly does it? There's where the glory comes from. And that's where we give God the glory, by receiving what he's done for us, not what we're forced to do, not irresistible, but we receive him gladly. I don't know what I'd do without, listen, stop and think a minute. What, without this right here, without this, what would our life be like? We'd have no idea where we came from, what we're doing here, or where we're going. This is the most marvelous book, because this is God's book. And to take God's book and to make it say things that it doesn't say, I think is an offense to God. So if you haven't been saved, if you haven't received Jesus and given him the glory and given him the joy, and by the way, I think I mentioned this before and I'll mention it to you again. Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. For the joy that was, what joy was set before Jesus that made him endure the cross and despise the shame of the cross? What joy was that he was going to have? It was the day that I came to him and asked him to save me. That gave him joy. It was the day you came to him and asked him to save you. That gave him joy. I've heard, there's joy in heaven on one sinner that repents. Who is that? The people that are saved going there? Well, it may be angels, it may be. But I tell you what the Bible teaches is that it is Jesus that has joy in heaven. Because it's what it says, for the joy that was set before him. If you've never done that, if you never received Jesus as your Savior, and you say, well, man, it's a Sunday night. Everybody here has been saved. I hope you are. But if you're not, tonight's the night. This is the time for you to receive Jesus Christ to be your Savior.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time from the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time and visit us online at westwoodmbc.org. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.